Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is No Soliciting. And there are days at my house where I wish I had something on my caller ID or on someone else's caller ID. When they called my number, there's a little thing that came up that said, no soliciting. Because it is amazing to me that about, no matter what you do, the second you go to sit down at night, the phone starts ringing. But there's this constant, almost badgering, people soliciting you. You know, you go to an office and you put these signs outside that say, no soliciting. And salespeople come by and it's like, they see them, but they don't pay any attention to them. And they come in, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to sell you something, trying to peddle something, and trying to reach you. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about this in two ways, this no soliciting. Because I think there are people who have a concept that in terms of God and prayer and talking to Him and going to Him, that there's this big sign outside His door that says, you know what, no soliciting. And that's not true. On the flip side, there is us. We, in our lives, may be characterized by this same statement. There's no soliciting. And what God is saying is, come ask me. Call unto me. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know, but you're going to have to talk to me. You're going to have to come my way. But there is no soliciting on our part. Well, as we go through this, what I hope you'll see also is this, that if you're not going and asking God for anything and listening there, then when He asks you and I for something, the odds are we're not going to respond to His soliciting. And what we say to Him is, look, don't bother me. No soliciting. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do whatever I think is appropriate, but don't come knocking on my door. And it appears to me that until we knock on His door and solicit Him, that then we're connected in a way where when He comes back and says, look, you need me, but I need you. You trust me, but I trust you. You got something for me to do, but I've got something to do in and through you. And there's a two-way conversation here. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And believe me, Chronicles is in there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And it gets in this family line, and you read these names. And again, we're not going to try to read all these names. But we'll jump in here, maybe we'll try verse 7. The sons of Helah were Zereth, Zohar, and Ethnan, and Kaz. I mean, it sounds like a bunch of barbarians to me, but Kaz begat Anub, Zobabah, and the families of Ahrahal, the son of Haram. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, look at this. And then this guy Jabez is mentioned. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, guys, you can go back and read it. I've done it the first few chapters and afterwards. And there's no comment like this. It's just names. It's names. But all of a sudden, it's like God's writing this through somebody and says, okay, wait a minute. Stop, Jabez. Something's up with Jabez. And he, of all of his brethren, his brothers mentioned in this part right here and in all these chapters, I mean, it has some places where it mentions some guys and they screwed up, but not like this where it's a good thing. He says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, I don't know if it was physical pain. We don't have it here. It could have been delivering Jabez when he was born. It could have been very painful. That's usually painful for any kid, so you wouldn't name a kid just based on that, maybe. But because I bore him in pain, something was going on with Jabez's mom. And then verse 10, and this is basically where we're going to hit, is this verse 10. And it simply says this about Jabez, that he called on the Lord God of Israel. Now, I can almost do the whole message on that phrase alone. Did you know what it says? He called on the Lord God of Israel. Now, this may be oversimplification for some of you, and you think, you know, I didn't come to hear this, but sometimes the most obvious things are the most obvious things. And we talk about prayer. We assume that people pray. We have prayer times. We have prayer lists. We do all this stuff. But when it gets right down to it, the question is anybody praying? And you think about your concern. You think about your need. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to share these needs. We do that. But I think sometimes people speak words. I'm talking about going to the God of the universe, knowing he's sitting on his throne, Jesus on the right side there, and you go and you say, look, I am calling on the Lord God of Israel. I am here. I know where I am. I know who you are. I know who I am, and something's got to happen. And it is a specific conversation about a specific area, and you're not just praying words before you fall asleep. Saying words, you're praying words, and you lock in with God and say, look, I am calling on you, I'm crying out to you, and I'm going to be specific. And in a minute, you'll see here that he gets very specific. Now, let me give you maybe another way to look at this. If you go into a restaurant this week somewhere, go into a restaurant where they don't have waiters and waitresses, go in a restaurant where they have a window where you go up, or you could do this like at a Sonic. Okay, you know, in a Sonic, you pull into this stall, and they have a little menu, and you're supposed to push a little button, and somebody sooner or later hears you and, you know, comes out there to help. Whether it's a place like that where you got to push a button, or you go into a place that has no waitresses or waiters, you go to a counter order, and then you get your food and go sit down. And go in this place and just sit down and wait. Now, they don't have waiters and waitresses, but just sit in there and wait. And kind of say, okay, God, if you want me to eat, have somebody come wait on me. You know what? They're not coming. They may try to kick you out of there after you've been there a few hours. You know, we don't do this. And sit there and wait. Now, you know why you say, well, no one waited on me. That's not how they do it in that place, is it? You go and you place an order. Now, the advantage in our case is that the God of the universe said, you know what? I do wait on tables. I do wait on you. I am a servant. I'm going to leave heaven, come down here, do everything I can so that when I go back, I leave the Holy Spirit in you, and I'm going back to take orders. And I'll be seated right there next to the Father. You don't have to go through anybody else. Just come straight to me. I'll relay it to the Father. You've talked to the Father in my name, and we'll listen. We'll do something. But nobody wants to place any orders. Now, it's not giving God orders. It's placing orders and saying, Father, this is what I want. Now, if you've ever gone into a restaurant with small children, you know what a thing this can be. Because you're trying to order, there's people in line behind you, or if they do have waiters, they're there, and you're trying to get specifics. Well, do you want noodles, or do you want chicken nuggets? And of course, that's all that exists. Thank God we don't tell them there's any other food on the planet, but noodles and chicken nuggets. There's two options for like the next 10 years, and we're fine. But you're making these choices, and sometimes you know how you start talking to God, you go, I don't know what to order. I don't know what to say. And he understands that. But guys, the longer you talk to him, the more you know specifically, it's this conversation. You say, God, look, this is what's got to happen. Now, I've got some basic needs. You know about these needs, and I've told you about those. But look, I got other stuff going on here in other people's lives. I've got concern and burden about, and I'm telling you, God, you've got to take this stuff down and do something about it. Now, I'm not talking about just talking at God. I'm talking about making your requests made known unto God specifically. Now, some people are scared to do this kind of stuff because the more specific you get, the scarier it is, because if it doesn't happen, you thought, well, maybe it was too narrow. Maybe I should have broadened it. But let me tell you the positive side about getting specific. When it happens, there's no way it's anybody but God. See, when your kid comes to you before Christmas thinking way ahead and says, you know what, Dad, I want a bicycle. No, Dad, I don't want a bicycle. I want a bicycle with a basket. I want the little tassel things on the side. I want it to be red. I want little sparkle or reflector things on the back. See, they start telling you that. You know what? As a parent, you eat that stuff up. Why? Because you want to know what they want. So that when Christmas comes around and there's a bike that rolls in, you know what's on that bike? All that stuff. So the kid goes, my mom, my dad, as much as possible, will deliver on what they know I love. They know who I am. They care about me. Right? That's who we are as parents. Why is God any different? He says, look, get specific with me. People looking for a husband or a wife. You say, God, send me a woman. Well, that's a good start if you're a man. Well, how do I get more specific? Get specific. You say, well, but what if I miss it? Just try. Father, show me. And it's not these outward things necessarily. We all got these outward lists. Well, who is this person on the inside? Then when God sends this person, you will weed out a lot of these men and women you're praying for because you'll meet somebody and they may be a looker on the outside but a loser on the inside. You go, well, I'd like to sit by you, but I don't want to be with you the rest of my life. You make a nice accessory but not a mate. A nice six-pack, girls, will get you so far, and that's it, you know? I'm not talking about drinking, but anyhow. What is the list? What are these specific things? Then when God does it, you say, wow, that was God. There's no way that could have happened unless it was God. Now, Jabez in this passage asked for some very specific things, and something happened here you'll see in a minute. Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, and this is what he said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Now, it's amazing in our culture that about the only time you get blessed is if you sneeze. Have you noticed this? You got to really cough. It's sneezing. It's not just coughing. If you cough really loud and hard, someone may bless you. But if you sneeze, you're going to get blessed just like that. Bless you. Like, why do I have to sneeze to get blessed? And you say to God, "Father, bless me." Now, a lot of people in our culture as well say, well, that means materially. Think of the ways that if you said, "God, bless me," how would you know he blessed you? If he's blessed you with a mate and you want to keep the one you've got, that could be a blessing. If you're dating somebody and you know it's a godsend, you say, "Father, that's a blessing." If you got enough food to eat and clothes to wear, everything beyond food and clothing is absolute blessing. So when you sit down, you say, "Father, nothing good's going on in my life. Just start with maybe a bed." Now, when you break it down that simply, you got something to be thankful for. But Jabez said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And look at the next one. "And enlarge my territory." Another translation is border. And in his case, it was literally territorial. It was land to possess. God, expand my border. I like to look at this in terms of influence. You have a certain amount of influence where you are. We as a church have a certain amount of influence where we are, what we do. But if we said, "Father, bless us, and as a church, expand our border, our area of influence, the people that we can influence, the lives that we can touch. You would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory," and look at the next one, "and that your hand would be with me." Now, I've tried before to imagine the hand of God, and if you read the scriptures, it says that God holds the universe, the entire universe, between the span of his hand, between your thumb and your middle finger right there. Now, that's a hand. All of the universe, all the planets, all the solar systems right there in this hand. And when you say to God that your hand would be with me, now if that hand is on your side and at your side and inside and you've just got nothing else but his hand, let me tell you something, you are safe. So when you call upon God and you say that your hand would be with me, you can't get safer than that. And I'm telling you guys, sometimes we focus more on what we don't have, who we think we're not, where life is not going instead of where it is. If you stop that long and just start making a list and say, "You know what, God, I got it going on. I have got so much to be grateful for." You say, "But what about all the bad stuff?" You know what? That stuff, the balance just shifts dramatically when you start plowing through and seeing the ways that he's blessed you and what you do have, and that he has protected you and guided you in so many ways. And Jabez says that your hand would be with me. And look at the next one. "And that you would keep me from evil." This is just simple stuff. I'm going to tell you what we pray, but we don't really pray. We wouldn't acknowledge this. It's almost by default. You don't pray, "God, keep me from evil." And if you read the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It's similar. By not praying, you know what you're saying? Well, if we get in a little trouble, it'd be okay. You know, what you got? You open yourself up. You say to the enemy, basically, "Look, I'm available today. You know, it's not going to be a big day for God and me. So what you got out there?" And by not saying what Jabez said, "Would you keep me from evil?" that means we're available to evil. And you got one or two options every day of your life. It's either to make God the boss of your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to kind of just go with the flow. And you know where you end up? With the flow. We could take a volunteer today, one of you, and say, "Okay, you know what? We're going to get a committee and we're going to follow you around all week long and just see how it goes, how your week unfolds and what you do." And if you pray in the morning, "God, you know, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil," if that's the goal, how much of that prayer gets answered, and do you get into all kind of trouble anyway? Or do you just kind of wing it, and then what happens to you? Where do you end up? I'm telling you guys, if you're not praying this stuff and thinking this stuff and making it a direct request, you're going to end up where you end up last week. You end up in some sin or some situation you've been in before and it didn't work before, it didn't work this week. You go, "Why did I get here? What am I doing here?" By not deciding to be there, you decide kind of to be there. You're just, it's by default, you end up these places. And he makes some specific, "Your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil." And look at the reason for a lot of this, "that I may not cause pain." And I think in a way what he's saying is, when I was born, I know my name is pain. I know my name is the sorrow that came from the way I was born, something about that, so I got this name. But you know what, God, I may have that name, but I don't want that to be indicative of my life. And the only way for me to not cause you pain, me pain, and anybody else pain is to answer some of these prayers. God, I don't want to cause any pain. So he says that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And look at the last phrase. So God granted him what he requested. Now, wouldn't that be amazing to actually fill out an order form and turn it in, and it comes back and you go, wow. Now, let me tell you one of my contentions. I don't think it's that God doesn't answer prayer. I really think when we get right down to it, there are not many people praying. Now, I'm not talking about talking at God. I'm talking about going to a place and a time and getting for the God of the universe and saying, look, if I got to make a list, I'll make a list. But I'm not here to chit-chat. I'm here to have a conversation with you, and I have some things I'd like to say to you, Father, but I think there's some things you probably have to say to me too, and I'd like to communicate with you. And when, if I make a request, I mean, if he were your coach, if he were your mentor, if he were your boss, if he were anybody like that, and you went in for advice or to make a request about your job, and the boss said, okay, or the mentor said, you know what, I see this in your life, I tell you what, let's do this, 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 and tweak it a little bit, you'd say, wow, thanks for helping do it. When God says, look, this has got to go, this has got to change, you say you want this with me and for yourself, I'm telling you, this has got to change. I'll give you the power to change it, I'll stay with you through the change, but you cannot have this without allowing me to do these other things. And you say, yes, sir. You know what? You make him boss. You say, you're the Lord, you're the master, whatever it takes. Now, if you're not prepared for that, guys, you're talking at God. You're saying words. Sometimes we sit down at meals and we say words. And our Father, you know, thank you for the food and bada bada, you know, it's this sing song. You say, well, we mean that. I understand. That's one kind of prayer. I'm talking about getting in a conference with God where your life depends on it or somebody else's life depends on it. I want you to flip over to the New Testament one passage and then we'll shut this down here in a little bit. Go over to James. I want you to see something in James chapter 4. And this is what he says in verse 1. Basically, where does all the conflict? Think about the internal and interpersonal conflict you have. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You want what you want when you want it. Now, that's not what I'm talking about going to God saying, you know what, God, I got to have this and I don't care what you think. You know what, I'm going to take it, either show up and give me what I want or I'm going to go find another way. If I have to kill for it, I'll kill for it. I'm going to get what I want. It's not your will be done, it's my will be done. He says, where do these wars and fights, all this conflict come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. But look at the last phrase. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now that is as simple as it gets. Anybody that knows me for any period of time and travels with me or goes anywhere with me knows I'm going to ask. You know why I like to ask? And here's, if you're a salesperson out there, and I've heard this phrase all my life, it's one of my pet peeves. Somebody says, well, you probably ought to ask because all they can say is no. You know what? If all they can say is no, why are you asking? Now think about that. Well, I'm going to ask. All they can say is no. That's not true. All they can say is yes or no. That's why you ask. And even if you're a little bit half-cocked and you don't know exactly what the right thing to do is, God says, look, I'll tweak it. I'll refine it a little bit. Just ask me for something. Ask. And the devil starts putting thoughts in your head. He says, well, you know, you've asked for stuff before. It didn't happen. I mean, well, why are you going to ask for more? God's not going to do that for you. He didn't care about you. If he cared about you, he'd answered all this other stuff in the past 10 years. And do you have the patience if you ask to say, okay, God, whether it happens today or it takes 30 years, I'm going to ask and I'm going to keep on asking because I got nowhere else to go and this is important. And until you change my desires, I'm going to keep asking. So you have not, he says, because you ask not. Guys, this is a huge principle for any part of your life. Married couples, children, God with a boss. You'd be amazed what will happen in the workplace if somebody just asks a question. Communicate. You do not have because you do not ask. Then verse 3, you ask and then he qualifies. He says you have not because you don't ask. But then he says, and you ask and then you don't receive. Now listen, this is where you're in trouble. And why a lot of people don't pray is because they do not receive what they've asked. And they say, okay, why is it that I'm asking and I'm trying to do this seriously and purposefully, and then even then it doesn't work out? Here's your answer. You ask and then you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So stop and say, Father, is what I'm coming to you asking for, is this really about me or is this about you ultimately? Is this about fulfilling just some pleasure of mine and I'm asking for a new car or new whatever it is? Maybe you need a car, but which car do you need? Let him decide that. But he says you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. And I won't even say, some people say you should ask a mister, but that's not what this means. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Now, I'm not any authority on prayer, guys, but I'm going to tell you something. God answers prayer. Absolutely. And you get specifically, we have people in this church that have needed cars, for instance, and specific, just boom, like that, cars show up. You say, well, I don't believe in that. I've never had anything like that. You know what? They really needed a car, maybe. You say, well, at what point are these things important or not? Ask him that. Go into the conversation. If that's all you know, you don't know anything, go in and say that. You say, you know what, God, I don't get this. But I got to talk to you. We got to have some conversation. And I don't know if I'm asking for the right thing, the wrong thing, but I know that you live inside of me and you're going to teach me and help me and coach me through this process. And the Holy Spirit knows what you want and what you want's best for me anyway. So I tell you what, why don't you guys talk and tell me what to ask for? Then everything I ask for, I'm going to get and we'll all be happy. What if you got a sheet from God himself and it's like the Holy Spirit whispered to you and said, ask for all this stuff, you'll get all of it. You know what? That is the deal. And if you stop long enough when you pray, before you pray, and you say, Father, I don't want to waste your time or mine, because you know what? I think there's things that I want or need. I don't know anymore. I'm getting better at this, but I don't know. I want what you want, because every time I get what you want, everything's great. And when I get what I want, it's a mess. So don't give me anything else just because I want it, God. And you stop and you listen and you say, okay, Holy Spirit, am I listening to you before we even say these words? And he says, yeah, go for that one, because the Father wants you to have that. And what happens is the Holy Spirit really starts telling you what to ask for. Are y'all listening to this? If you'll ask what to ask for, you'll get what you ask for when you ask for it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, try it. But see, now you're going to have to get hooked up with the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to have to walk in the Spirit, not just have a random list. Now you're going to have to let him groan and travail in prayer and move through you. Now you're in a relationship, and see, most of us don't want that, because he might tell me to go over here and go over there and do this, and it's going to end up being praying without stopping. It'll be all day long hooked up, listening, talking, walking with God, and you've got this thing compartmentalized for Sundays and a couple Bible studies. You don't want to hear him all week. You don't want to hear him all day. You don't want to obey him all the time. You just want what you want when you want it.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
It is a living, breathing, alive relationship, interaction with this God. And it works when it comes out of a personal relationship. Before you go launching into things you need, start telling him how awesome he is and how blessed you are. You say, God, there's stuff I need, but you know what? I got you, and even if I never get all these things I think I need, someday I'm going to drop dead or you're coming back and I'm going to be home with you forever. It doesn't get any better than that, so I guess I'm okay. But while I'm here, here's some stuff. You know, here's some stuff I think needs to happen, and really, God, it's not even about me anymore because you've taken care of all my stuff. I got food to eat and clothes to wear, and if you want me to have more than that, great, and if you want me to give some of that away, that'd be fine too. But God, use me any way you see fit to reach out to the people around me. And then you start giving your life away and his life through you away, and stuff starts happening. And you go, why didn't I live this way always? Because you can't outgive him. And you can't outlive him. You say, well, I'm not interested in this. I just want to go to church and sing some songs and do it my way. It doesn't work your way. It doesn't work my way. It only works His way. But you're going to have to talk to Him somewhere. And Jabez's prayer would be a great start in 1 Chronicles chapter 4.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.